Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God.
How many of you are in here tonight and you didn't know this was a prayer meeting? Anybody in here? A couple of you. Well, what we did is on Sunday nights, we switched over to prayer meetings, and we're so blessed to be able to let the Holy Spirit have His way. This is now a believers' meeting because we've given the altar call. And so everyone in here, I'm assuming if you didn't say yes to Jesus Christ, that you've already said yes to Him, and that qualifies you as a born-again believer, that you have access to the throne of God. And so we're going to pray tonight. And I love what one man, and I don't know who it was that said it, but we can do nothing but pray until we have prayed. And I believe with all my heart that prayer is the most important and vital ministry that we have in the kingdom of God. Because prayer isn't hard work, and it's not just trying to figure out if God's going to listen to you. Prayer is communicating with the Godhead. Prayer is talking to the Holy Spirit, talking to Jesus, and talking to the Father. And what's amazing is that you and I have access to do that. And heaven is so close to us. It is so close to us that if we could have our spiritual eyes open, we could feel the breath of God on our cheeks. And you could experience the kiss of heaven as angels bend low to hear what you're going to say as the believers. And as angels bend low to protect and to cover you, and the ones that God has assigned to each and every one of you, because your angels, according to Jesus, look into the face of the Father. So tonight, we get to pray. And before we pray, because I want to do a lot of praying tonight as much as I can, I wanted to cover just a couple of things about corporate prayer. Because I've had some people say, well, why do we need to pray if God is sovereign? Why do we need to pray? And didn't Jesus really deal a lot with praying? And He told us to go into our prayer closets and to pray secretly to the Father. And when the Father heard us, that He would reply openly and reward us openly. But it was about pulling back and going into your prayer closet. And yes, that's absolutely true. There is individual prayer, and that is where you and I get with God. Individually, we go into that quiet place, and we do what we do with God. But God has also ordained corporate prayer, and something very, very special and powerful happens when God calls His people together for prayer. And so I wanted to just talk about that for a little bit, and then we're going to get to prayer tonight. But I wanted to just give you a little bit of history, that corporate prayer actually began, the first time you see it corporately, is in Exodus, and it's actually mentioned, Moses mentions it. Now, these are not up on the overhead, but Moses mentions it in Deuteronomy when Israel cried out to God as a nation, and God brought salvation. So God hears the cry of His people corporately. And from there, then God gave them and issued them the edict and gave them the law. And then he had them build the temple. And the temple was actually called the house of prayer for all nations. And there Israel began a long journey of praying corporately in the porches and the porticos and in the courts of the house of God. And you can read the Psalms about it. And God would gather His people together for corporate prayer. And then they began a tradition. And you can see this in the New Testament. And we actually don't know when it actually started, because it's tradition. It was an edict from God. But they began to have morning prayers and noon prayers and afternoon prayers. And that's exactly what you're going to see in the culture of Messiah when He was on the earth, when He was in the temple in Jerusalem. He would go into the synagogues, and He would go into the temple when He was in Jerusalem, and He would go for morning prayer, for noon prayer, and for afternoon prayer. And there they would sacrifice, and they would lift up their hands, and they would praise, and they would pray unto God corporately as a nation. There was a man's court, and there was a woman's court, because women were unclean if they were having their menstrual cycles. Therefore, they were separated from the men. They could not pray together because of uncleanliness of the law. And therefore, the men had a court and the women had the outer court, and they would pray. And as we went to Jerusalem, I've been there twice, we would go to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall. It's the only wall left of Jerusalem from the tremendous destruction that Titus brought forth in 2,000 years ago, when over 1 million Jews were killed. And Jerusalem was ransacked and destroyed, and the temple was pulled down, and everything that Jesus said was going to happen happened. So the only thing left of Jerusalem that is original is that western wailing wall. And you've probably seen pictures of it, and you've seen the Hasidic Jews as they're going like this, and they're wrapping their prayer requests and they're putting them in the wall. Have you seen those pictures of the tall hats and the curls? That's the Western Wailing Wall, following a tradition all the way back to the days of Solomon. So corporate prayer has always been a part of God's kingdom. But something happened in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, Jesus mandated and he began the church with corporate prayer because they were all in the upper room together waiting on the Lord when the Spirit of God came. And they were in unity and they were in one accord and they were praying, and the Spirit of God came as a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire were upon their heads, and they began to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues, and of course the people in Jerusalem and at the temple heard them and they thought that they were drunk, and they said, "No, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, the time of prayer, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit." And then Peter gave his famous message that began the church. So we see it there. Then we see another example of corporate prayer in Acts chapter 4. When Peter and John were jailed and they were preaching in the name of Jesus, and the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees said, "You cannot preach in that name." And they kept him overnight in prison. And they come back and they get out of prison and they go back to the church and they tell the church what has happened. And this is where Peter says, "We cannot obey you when God has told us to do something else." And it says that they prayed in Acts chapter 4, and I'm just going to read it to you. I've got the last verse that we'll put up on the overhead, but it says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord, and they said, 'Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ.'" They are quoting out of the psalm. They are praying the word of God. "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord," corporate prayer, "look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, where they were assembled together, the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So after that amazing corporate prayer of the saints of God gathering as a home church, God shook that place and he filled them again with the Holy Spirit and gave them gifts of boldness and gave them the courage and the grace that they need to face a dangerous world that was about to destroy them. And Satan was out to wipe out every single disciple that he could before the church ever got going. Because Satan will wipe us out at an early age if he can. Because he'd much rather wipe out a 2-year-old than a man who knows his rights in Jesus Christ. Just like he tried to kill Moses, just like he tried to kill Jesus, he will try to wipe you out at an early age. So, corporate prayer. Let me say a few things about it. Let me read you a quote that I love about the corporate prayer of the church. I love the church. I love what Jesus said. I just asked Monica to put this up. Monica, can you put up Matthew 11:11? Because Jesus says of the church, and he was speaking about his cousin John the Baptist. He said, "What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A king in fine robes?" He said, "No, you went out to see a prophet." And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now in the old covenant, one born of woman, there wasn't one greater prophet. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Elijah. It wasn't Daniel. It wasn't Haggai. It wasn't Zechariah. It was not Jeremiah. It was not the prophet King David. God said, "Of one born of woman, there is not one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least, insignificant, a nobody, a nothing, a baby in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that I am bringing, the church that I'm about to birth, is greater than he. And what is he saying? That you and I, as the church of the living God, as born again, spirit-filled sons and daughters of God, filled with the spirit of the living God, that we have access to the throne of God, that we in the blood of Jesus can come boldly before the God of the universe, that we are the body of Christ on the earth, and he is the head. And God says, as my church gathers together in divine agreement and in corporate unity, there is power that is released, and there's none greater than you. The power that you wield and that is available to you in prayer is staggering. Like I said, we don't know how close we are to heaven. But if we would take the time, we could feel the heartbeat of God and his breath right now in this place. Because he's waiting for the church to pray. Because he has made a covenant with us that we are his sons and daughters. And that as we take on his heart, we can pray his will into the earth. And I love what he said. There's not one born of woman that was greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. That means you have power beyond anything you know. It's not power to wield the sword. It's not power to call down fire from heaven to destroy a city. It's not that kind of power. It is the power of God to bring the kingdom of God, the light of the gospel, the power of mercy, and the power of Jesus Christ in all he is and all he represents into a violent, hurting, broken, destroyed and rapidly unraveling planet and a generation that is so far from heaven that they don't have a clue about how magnificent and how awesome and how beautiful their king really is. And he's asking us, his church, to call them home, to stand in the gap as intercessors for them, to make up the hedge for those that cannot pray for themselves. Intercessors. So tonight, corporate prayer is absolutely vital. This is what Elton Trueblood said about the church. He said, you cannot go to church. You are the church wherever you go. Think about that for a second. You cannot go to church. You are the church wherever you go. So the people are a portable sanctuary of communion with God. When believers are dispersed, they are praying priests in the world. When they are together, they are a fellowship of prayer. So you're a portable sanctuary. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as in the Old Testament, God said, I've called my house to be a house of prayer for all nations. You, my darlings, each individual and corporately together, we are the house of prayer for the Holy Spirit, for all nations. And so God, I believe with all my heart, is pleased on Sunday nights when we step in to that place of prayer. So what hinders corporate prayer? Let me just give you a couple of things. When we pray to impress other people, that hinders corporate prayer. Because I remember when I was a new Christian and I lived in this house ministry and we had to pray, you know, in a circle with our afterglows after church. There was 13 of us living in a house together, men and women. And we were very, very, very scheduled, and it was just a marvelous experience for me. It was life-changing for me. And I can remember the first time we had this prayer meeting and my heart was beating like this. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to pray out loud. I don't know what to say. And I started thinking about what was I going to pray. And what I didn't realize is I was actually hindering what God wanted to do because I was so self-conscious. And so, first of all, none of us up here can pray ourselves out of a paper bag. Okay? It's not about how we sound. Holy unto the Lord. You can talk to him like you talk to me. We're not here to get brownie points in heaven about how holy we sound, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees did on the street corners when Jesus walked the earth, so that all could think that they were pious and godly. That's hypocritical. God says, don't do that. Just be yourselves. But come in faith and come in authority. And Dan's going to explain that in a minute when he prays. What else hinders prayer? Unspiritual feelings of inferiority which quench the contribution of new or struggling believers. Let me say that again, because that's a mouthful. And I actually copied that out of an article. Unspiritual feelings of inferiority which quench the contribution of new or struggling believers. Some of you are thinking, oh, no, I can't pray tonight. You don't know what I did this today, or I got mad at my husband, or I got mad at my wife, or I'm not married, but, oh, man, I was in sin. I was watching something I shouldn't watch. I did something I shouldn't do. I said what I shouldn't say. I can't pray tonight. Oh, baloney. What, God doesn't know? So let's just get clean. Okay? Let's just get clean. Let's just ask God, if we've done some things we shouldn't have done, we're just going to get that right out of the way. Because the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. It's not because of what we've done. It's because of what he's done for us. It's not about what we've done in the past or what's been done to us in the past. It's about what he's done for us now. And he sees us washed in the blood. So hindering prayers, let's don't try to impress each other. Let's don't have any feelings of inferiority. I'm not a very good prayer person. Well, listen, there's probably not very many people that are good prayer people, okay? But we're learning. And you know, we've done this little thing at the Rock about men and women, and we all pray differently. Men are like waffles. Women are like spaghetti. You know, men are compartmentalized. They have the compartments. They're problem solvers. They're amazing, the sons. And then women are like spaghetti. Our little brains touch everything, and we feel, and we know, and we're, you know, ooh, 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 you know. So we can kind of make each other a little crazy when we try to pray together. Some of you husbands just really don't want to pray with your wives. And some of you wives, why won't he pray with me? Well, because we probably pray too loud, too much. We're too touchy-feely. Who knows? They're men. And we want the men to be men. But when we come corporately to prayer, what does that mean? It means I'm going to get you in little groups tonight. It means that we're going to do popcorn prayers. What does that mean? It means just brief popcorn prayers, maybe 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Okay? Because in your little group, not everybody's going to get to pray if we really take off and go around the world. All right? Hit all the missionaries. Can't do that. And my husband has given me very firm instruction about the sons. He says, no holding hands. Okay, so you do not have to hold hands. Because I know that the men don't like to hold hands. You know, the women instinctively want to touch. So, girls, hands down. You can pray without holding hands. You can do it. I know you can. I'm trusting you. I know you can. So if we get off in little groups tonight, popcorn prayers, there are no such thing as bad prayers. Okay? You can't pray bad. Pray from your heart. Pray from your heart. He hears the heart. We're not going to try to impress anybody. We're not going to feel inferior. But we are going to do what God's told us to do. We're going to be the intercessors he needs us to be. An intercessor is someone that asks the help of someone else who has power and influence to change the situation. An intercessor is someone who stands on behalf of the one that can't to beseech one that has more power and influence to help the one in need. We are in the center. We stand as intercessors for those that can't reach God, for those that don't know how to pray, for those that aren't saved, for those that are hurting. We are on Sunday nights his intercessors. So let's pray, because I know the angels are waiting and I know the Father's waiting. So will you stand with me? Let's just get some soap on us. All right? We've already come into the presence of the Lord and worshiped, and the team just led us into the presence of God. This young generation just did a beautiful job and brought us to the throne. And so it says that once we go to before the throne, that we are to praise him and enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. We've done that. Lord, we just checked in with you. But then it says, now we can say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Come your kingdom, be done your will on earth as it is in heaven. And it says that we can ask forgiveness, to forgive us as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. So right now, if you're holding resentment, harboring unforgiveness in your heart right now, or if you've really screwed up, we're going to pray. If you're in unforgiveness and you haven't forgiven, you can't be forgiven, so you're going to have to let it go. So what does that mean? We're going to pray tonight. Forgiveness isn't about feeling like they deserve to be forgiven. It's not about somebody that deserves being forgiven. It's about the fact that you're forgiven, therefore you were forgiven of a debt you could never repay. And in comparison to what somebody else has done to you, it's $20. It's not worth holding on to because it keeps you in prison. And God said, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. Your prayers can't be answered. So, hello, pretty important. Now, if you've been messing around, if you feel like you need to get right with God tonight, we're going to do this now so that we can pray effectively, okay?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.